Kyle. Are you able to hear me all right?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's what we want. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on the win tonight. Can you walk us through your run and kind of how you're feeling right now?
Yeah, it was obviously much needed and very, very much a lot of relief as well, too. For me, having the opportunity to continue that win streak was certainly high on our list. And, you know, when you fall out of the playoffs and you got nothing else to race for, that's all you have to race for is trophies and getting wins for the rest of this year. And it feels really good to be able to come here to Texas and score that win. You know, we haven't been the best on mile and a halfs this year, but we've been working on it and strategizing on things that we can do to improve. And it was nice to see some of that and that fruit pay off tonight.
Awesome. Well, we're going to get right into questions for you. Let's kick things off here with Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Kyle, where, you know, the satisfaction of winning, what, how would you describe it and compare it to other wins in terms of the feeling?
Really, it kind of felt like a championship win. You know, when you're at Homestead and you're racing around on that final run and every little thing that can go wrong, you feel like is going wrong, or every little creak of the car, you think, oh, I got a flat tire when it's, everything's fine. Today was one of those ways. And, you know, we had to save fuel that entire last stage. You know, the beginning of the final stage, we were saving fuel there towards the end once Boyer had to pit. And then, you know, after the pit stop, the entirety after the final pit stop, I was saving fuel as well too. So there was a lot on my mind and things that we were trying to do and accomplish, obviously, with trying to stretch it. And then the other thing was just the amount of things that can go wrong will go wrong type stuff that goes in your mind. And we had a rubber fire that was in the cockpit of the car. It happened. It was pretty much the whole final run. You know, if it was a 50 lap final run, it was there for 40 laps. I mean, it was just, you know, a rubber fire that would light on fire and pretty much smoked me out. Like, I don't know if I'm going to pass the CO test, but we made it. So all doesn't matter now.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Kyle, since it's still 2020, I was pretty sure you're going to run out of fuel on the last lap, but
so did I.
Yeah, you didn't. And so obviously you spoke about the relief. What does this do mentally for you in these final weeks to wrap up the season?
I told Coy when I was on my way into victory lane, I said, I'm done. I'm good for the year. I'm retiring. I don't need to go next week or the week after. I'll just sit home. But no, I mean, that's how much relief it felt like it was. It was just like, you know, I wouldn't say that. Obviously, when you got knocked out of we got knocked out of the playoffs, and going through this round of eight, typically there's pressure. You know, you have the pressure. The pressure builds through every round, and the round of 12 for me was like the round of eight. I knew that we had to do everything right in order to make the round of eight being like our final four. But we obviously weren't good enough. We weren't able to capitalize and do what we needed to do. So now that you're out, you pretty much have no pressure. You just go out there and you race and whatever happens, happens. But when you're able to run up front and run with those guys, you still got to push hard. You still got to do things right. You know, Skittles, M&Ms, Interstate Batteries, Toyota, all those guys, they want to see us successful. They want to see us win. And it means a lot to be able to continue that winning tradition with the 18 and with Adam and all of our guys, everybody at Joe Gibbs Racing. They, you know, they give full effort, man. I mean, there's no quit, but it just hasn't quite lined up for us this year.
Thank you.
All right, our next question will come from Mike Solarte. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks very much. Congratulations, Kyle. I know that the monkey had become a gorilla on your back there and the way you've been kind of approaching it. But now you have a little bit of momentum going into Martinsville. And I know you just said, yeah, you're done for the year, but that's not who you are. I mean, how do you focus now on such a quick turnaround? Because it's like an NFL team playing Sunday and going to Thursday for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It's a quick turnaround. But, man, it's way more stressful for the team guys than it is for the driver. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I felt like through the middle part of the race, once we got everything sorted out from the start of the race there in the first Martinsville, we were pretty good. We ran lap times comparable. We actually ran with the 19 for much of a couple runs. And I was just trying to stay out of his way because he was on the lead lap. So I felt like we were as good as he was. He obviously won the race. So I feel like there's a chance that, you know, given if we can make it through the first, the first set of tires without going a lap down, then we'll be okay. And I think we could have a shot to win there too.
All right. We'll take our next question from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Now, there's been a lot made of the fact that there hasn't been practice this year, and that's been that may have played a part in the struggles of this season. You guys got 52 laps on Sunday. Do you feel like that did play a role in where you guys were able to figure out where the car was Sunday and had used that information for today's race?
No, not really. Yes, some, sure. You know, the first run of the race, we were off. We were really loose and banging off the splitter. So we came in, we put Packer in the front end, and then we sped on pit road. So we restarted in the back, and then we tried to make our way back up through, and restarts were killing me. I just could not do restarts very well. I had a lot of tire chatter, just felt like the tires were cold. They wouldn't go and wouldn't fire for about 8 laps. And then once we got everybody all single filed out and I got clean air on my car and I could run the lines that I wanted to run and control the stuff that I could control, then we were able to drive up through the field and get ourselves back up towards the front. So it just took a little bit, but we were still on the splitter there for the finish of the first stage as well. So we put more Packer in the left front to start the second stage. And that's when we rolled, man. We went right to the front and we were running second there. And then Truex, I think, ran out. And we were able to get by him on the green flag stop there before the end of the second stage and win that stage and lead the rest of the way.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Kyle, what do you think it means for this team to, you know, I don't know if you heard Adam say that he thought you guys had the best car, but, you know, to finally win with the best car and win in a way that, you know, it was Adam and, you know, in some ways coaching and not coaching, but kind of suggesting and fuel mileage, there's, you know, a full kind of team effort.
Yeah, no, you can call it coaching. That's perfectly fine. I mean, that's what it was. And when you're a guy behind the wheel, you need that constant reminder of being able to lift early. And there's not a whole lot of saving fuel in this era we're in right now, because there's so much throttle on time that any little bit of throttle lift is 2-3 tenths. So really being able to find the draft and find other cars and do things, Tony was a big help to do all those things to be able to save the fuel that we needed to. Those final two runs was huge. So having Adam there to kind of help that, he's obviously got some data that he's looking at that he can see as far as the fuel savings are going. I even came on the radio and asked one time, I says, hey, with what I'm doing, am I doing okay? Do I need to do more? Like, what does it look like? Because I know they've got tools. And he said, just keep doing what you're doing. So I was like, all right, well, what I'm doing must be okay at least. And fortunately, it was just enough.
And I'm also curious, have you talked to your Truck Series drivers at all about the way you want them to race Martinsville after the after the fireworks of Texas?
They're all kids, man. They all come up in late models and K&N and door banging and beating the hell out of each other every series they run in. So they might as well keep doing it in trucks. That's what's going on right now. So, you know, Rhodes is just as guilty as they are in his earlier years, no question. He has certainly mellowed out and has done a better job as of late. So if he wants to help be a mentor to some of those kids that are just coming in for their first year, I would take that approach.
Thank you.
All right, our next question will come from Stephen Conley. Go ahead, Stephen.
Congratulations, Kyle, especially on 16 years of consecutive wins. Now, you mentioned that earlier, but you joined some big names, Richard Petty, Jimmy Johnson, and others. What does it mean to you? I know drivers always say they look at that last win because they never know when the next one's coming. How important is it to keep that going, and do you look at wins differently than you did maybe early in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I say that So I guess for me, the opportunity of being able to continue the win streak is huge. And I say that because there's a lot of people that put the pressure on me, on us as the 18 team, that we're known we need to win. We should win. We have to win. And all of that stuff kind of weighs on you a little bit. But to be honest with you, it's just they're right. You know, I'm not self-touting. I have been told by many a folk that, you know, I'm one of the best here that's been here, and to have that opportunity with myself and my team and the people that are around me to go out there and win races, it makes sense. Like, you should be able to win a race is every year that you're out there for a long time to come. So obviously, you know, every great thing, I guess, must come to an end eventually, but man, I'm only 35. Like, I feel like I got at least 10 more years left in me. So there should be a great opportunity for this streak to go for a long, long time. That's why it's been so stressful and has not felt very good to have this dry spell.
And can you talk a little bit about the helmet and the auction and what that's going to?
Yeah. So thanks. The Bundle of Joy Fund, obviously the Samantha and Kyle Busch Bundle of Joy Fund is our charity that we have that we raise money for couples that are going through in vitro fertilization, IVF, the same thing that Samantha and I had to go through in order to have our son, Brexton. And so we, every year I do a Halloween themed helmet. I've done Frankenstein before. We've done some other Disney characters and some other stuff, which has been really fun. Thanks to M&M's, they allow me to do that. And this year I just did a theme because we're all guilty of it, especially during quarantine, especially during the last 3 days here in Texas. We're all guilty of just being zombie on our phones, you know, and just so I kind of came up with that theme of an idea of just kind of making fun, poking fun to the quarantine and everybody being on their cell phones these days. So anyways, we're raising money with that helmet. It's now a winning helmet. You can buy your tickets for $18 a piece at the Bundle of Joy Fund .org, or you can go to kylebusch.com. There's a link there for people to donate and enter for their chance to win.
It's a great theme. Congratulations and best of luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right. And Kyle, I'm going to ask you a question here that I have from Jerry Jordan. Kyle, there were fans in the stands at Texas and they were either cheering for you or that you guys finally got this race in and the rain stayed away. But this win has to be a really rallying moment for you and Adam.
It was, you know, it definitely was. It was great to have the fans out here. I appreciate their support. There were a lot of M&M's jackets I saw. There was four or five kids lined up against the fence and gave a couple of them high fives there. So it was cool that they came back out and supported us on Wednesday. I know it's not in the best of conditions, but those are the true warriors that come on out here and support us in 40-degree weather. You know, that's pretty awesome. So really appreciate them. There were some jeers, obviously. They're always going to be. And, you know, so it is what it is. And they're not going home happy, but the M&M's ones are.
All right. We're going to take our next one here from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Kyle. Congratulations on the win. And you finished in the top three ahead of Martin Truex Jr. and your future teammate in Christopher Bell. So how excited does that make you for the future of Joe Gibbs Racing?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. You know, I take that back. I feel like crap. The 19 needed to win a race, obviously, in order to move on and punch their ticket to the championship round. And I'm that guy that spoils it for them. And that was one of their best mile and a half runs that they've had this year, just like our best mile and a half run this year, arguably. And, you know, I'm thinking of that as we're coming down to the finish too, but I'm like, you know, I got to win, man. Like there's obviously no team orders and we do things straight up and as fast as we can be, we got to be, you know? So obviously it sucks for them. And I did think too, though, that they can be really good at Martinsville. So hopefully they can go out there and do well, maybe win again. I'd like to win Martinsville. It would really suck again if he's finished a second to me, but that would be 2020, wouldn't it?
Sure would. Thanks, Kyle. Congratulations.
All right. Our next question will come from Michael Shelton. Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you very much. Well, Kyle, congratulations. Now, prior to the season, it seemed like you winning multiple races was as certain as death and taxes. I mean, that you expect nothing less from yourself. And even in victory, you're always thinking of ways, how could I do this better? Just how humbling has these last few months, you know, before getting this win tonight, how humbling has it been to you? And, you know, how much will you savor this win a little bit more than some of the others that you've had in the past?
I mean, not really, no. I'm not going to savor this one any more than any of the others. It's time to move on think about Martinsville and get ready to go and what we need to do in order to go there and win. So, you know, just because we've been on a dry spell and we've had some bad luck and some things that haven't quite shaken out for us, this was the first true race that nothing happened, you know? And even on the restarts, for as bad as some of the restarts were, I was like, ah, here we go again. But just rode it out, and we were able to work our way back up through the traffic and get up towards the front. So, certainly it feels good when you win any time, but I'm not going to celebrate this one any harder. Thinking that it's my last, I got to go into next week thinking we can win that one.
Well said. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Our next question will come from Jonathan with the Racing Experts. Go ahead. I don't think we can hear you.
My bad. Sorry about that.
No.
Kyle, I just want to ask you, you know, obviously you and Kevin Harvick are close together on the wins list. You guys have been racing close with each other over the years. Just kind of speak to the on-track relationship and I guess off-track relationship you've had with Harvick just over the years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he made a big step in the win direction this year of catching up and passing myself. Obviously he's a student of the game and has done very well over the years, especially with SHR and getting over there and being with Rodney Childers. So those guys have certainly become a force to be reckoned with each and every year. We fight them for wins. We fight them for championships. And so they're very, very good at what they do. Harvick's earlier years at RCR, obviously, we never really saw eye to eye. We'd like to fight a lot. And, ever since he's kind of moved on to SHR, things have been different. And I'm not sure as of why, but we both have grown up over time. And we both now have families and children and things like that. So it's cool when we're able to see them kind of together and us be together a little bit off the racetrack. We were at the go-kart track one time. Keelan was there. Brexton was there. They were hanging out and talking and stuff like that. So it's, it's cool to get back on at least the terms of being able to race each other competitively, race each other hard, but yet race each other clean. We did that a few times today. You know, I got to run on him, past him. He gave me room. He got to run on me. I gave him room. He passed me, you know? So there's a lot of guys out there, man, that they'll just get right down on your door and they'll pack air on you or they'll just do dumb stuff and play games really hard. And some of us more veteran guys will chill on some of that for more of the race than the others will. But, the name of the game is definitely different than what it was years ago. So just good to have good relationships with more drivers than not.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right, we'll take our next question from Davey Siegel. Go ahead, Davey.
Hey, Kyle, I know you said that you guys didn't have race-winning speed for these last few weeks in the past. So today, was there one specific thing that changed that, be it strategy, raw speed, or was it just one of those days where it all came together?
No, we had raw speed today. That car was fast, whatever it was. You know, the guys did a great job, and they brought some good stuff here this week. So I think we saw it, with myself, 19 to 95. The 11 obviously got damaged at some point. I'm not sure what happened to the 20. So, the overall top three was Gibbs cars, Toyotas. So maybe there's something there that we can all look at and, try to study and work on for next year.
Thank you.
All right. Our next one will come from Ashley McCubbin. Go ahead, Ashley.
A lot of people have questioned the combination of yourself and Adam. What message do you think it sends in getting that win today with regards to that?
That we can do it under any situation. We can do it under, pressure situations of racing for a championship and winning the final races at Homestead and bringing home two championships there. We can do it in the Coke 600. We can do it here when we're knocked out of the playoffs and people would say that we've got nothing to race for. But we come out here and we're able to win, So there's all kinds of different circumstances and different opportunities for us. And, I'd like to think that we can be successful for a long time.
And now that you've got the monkey off the back, so to speak, outlook for the next 2 weeks and possibly getting another couple wins before the year's out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're going to push for. We want to go to Martinsville and run up front, try to win that one. And same thing, go to Phoenix. Let's spoil the championship party and not see the champion have to be the winner.
Perfect. Thank you. And congratulations once again.
Thank you.
All right. And our final question for Kyle will come from Aaron Baird. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, Kyle, congrats on the win. Before we sat through all the rain in Texas, I know you had to sit through even more rain out there with the late model down at Five Flags. First of all, just what were the logistics of this week like? And since they ran that, do you think you'll get the late model out again later this year or early next year?
Yeah, I guess I brought the rain with me. Sorry, everybody. Yeah, we were in Pensacola there, and we got practice in, we got qualifying in, and the radar looked fine for the evening. Everything was good, and then all of a sudden, it storm popped up and rained us out. So I wasn't able to race. Was looking forward to it. We got qualified second, so I felt like I had a pretty good race car over there. I was looking forward to that. As far as coming back for the Derby or something like that, I don't know. I really wanted to run that race to see whether or not we were going to be decent enough to race the Derby. But I didn't get that opportunity. So I'll have to rethink it and, see what's happening. Obviously there's a lot of change going on with people, at KBM, as well as, some things of that we've got to make sure that we've got enough cars and parts and things like that for the people that are going to be racing our supers down there anyway. So we'll see what happens.
Thank you.